Blog Talk Radio.
Fellas, I wonder what you mind if I talk to you a minute. You know, sometimes we have a tendency, or should I say we forget what a woman needs every now and then. That is, if you want to keep your thing together. Listen to me now.
Do the things that keep a smile on her face. Say the things that make her feel better every day. Man, you got to stay on your P's and Q's. If you don't perform, you can easily lose. Oh, I had a love and I'm all done. And no one can help me share the pain that you caused me. Oh, a woman gotta have.
In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I'm sorry. All praise due to Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. And in the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his messenger, and for surely in the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst, it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear sister.
Our praise is due to Allah. Okay, we are back here for another Thursday night session. These are no longer broadcasts, it seems. Everybody kind of used this night for a learning point, including myself. And before we move on, let me announce that Student Minister Stanley Muhammad will be joining us shortly after he finishes a very important call. But, of course, we have his better half here with us tonight, so we still will not fall short. And then, of course, we are joined graciously by our study group host, Student Minister James Muhammad, as well as my wonderful dear brother and co-host, Brother Kadeem Amir Muhammad. And so we're going to get right off into our topic tonight, but I'm going to allow my guests, my family, they're not guests, but I'm going to allow them to come front and center and say a few words to the listening audience. And so many of you have joined on, and y'all hitting me up in the chat room already for questions that we haven't even talked about yet, and we might not talk about tonight, but eventually we will. So I'm going to start out, of course, hailing to the Queen, Sister Ruth Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, ma'am, and thank you again for inviting my husband and I to be a part of the talk show. It's definitely a blessing for us to be able to help the believers and also our people. So I just want to thank you and thank Allah for you, and may Allah continue to bless you to keep, you know, giving the word to the people.
Thank you, Sister Ruth. It is always an honor and a pleasure to have you with us, and you and Brother Stanley are a beautiful and perfect example, in my humble opinion, of what marriage and Islam are to reflect. So I thank you, Sister, once again. And, of course, we are joined by a person who certainly needs no introduction whatsoever, but I thank Allah for him because he is just a constant soldier in this battle of righteousness, and he is a wonderful and excellent helper to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he is doing a magnificent work down there in Tampa showing the young fruit how to soldier, and he's selling up to 300 papers a week by himself. So, Student Minister James Muhammad, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Queen Aziza Mariam. I'm so very happy and honored to be here on behalf of Brother Stanley Muhammad, who I agree with you is an expert on this subject matter. I love to listen to his counsel myself. And, of course, my dear sister, warrior, always been a warrior ever since I've known her. I've been blessed to know her for how long, Sister Ruth? 22 years, I think it is. Sister Ruth, are you with us?
Yes, she's here.
Okay.
She might be on mute.
But, however, I'm very honored to be here on an interim basis until our brother can join us after, or hopefully within this first hour at the latter part of it on this subject matter. I want to also thank you, Brother Kadeem, for allowing me to be here. We thank Allah, first and foremost, who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi. We thank him for raising up the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted, the resurrected and exalted Christ, and through whom we have received a wonderful gift. He's many things, but he is, for me, my personal redeemer, a man who has suffered for over 55 years, for the cause of Islam, as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and by his stripes, many thousands, in fact millions, are healed. The man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. Once again, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam. And certainly not least, my dear beloved brother and co-host, you know, Allah has a way of sending you a blessing. And, you know, I didn't know Brother Kadeem, and I met him on Facebook, and I asked him to come on one night as a guest. And I don't know, it was just something about his spirit, and I love the trajectory of his voice, and I asked him to co-host with me, and he has been such a magnificent help and brother. So I'm not going to embarrass him or make him blush too much. But Brother Kadeem, thank you so very much for your help and for your extension of brotherhood to your sister. And may Allah continue to bless you and bless us with you, dear brother. But come on out, soldier, front and center, and greet the people.
All praises are due to Allah, dear sister. Thank you. Let me start in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the All-Wise, True, and Living God, who came to us in the divine person of Master Farad Muhammad. We thank Allah for coming and raising up the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we thank them both for leaving in our midst our divine reminder, our warner, our leader, our teacher, our guide, our everything. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and in their names, I would like to greet the believers, the listening audience, with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, dear Sister Queen. These broadcasts every week are really healing, and I love to participate. And at the same time, while participating, I'm learning, and it's a healing process for me, so I'm always excited about participating in these. And I thought on these conferences, dear sister, and we're going to answer questions, and we're going to deliver information based on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, which in both scripture of both Bible and Quran. And I often think about our delivery and how we answer questions. And I would hope that though we are going to stand on truth, that we can deliver what we're going to deliver in a way a person can take it. It may sting a little, but it is not our intention to hurt any single individual that has a question, but it's our intention for the purpose of growth and development of every single person. Of every single individual person that's actually listening, because all of us are in need of healing. And this show, it's about family. It's about marriage. And we already know that marriage is the cornerstone of any nation. And we're promoting it. We're trying to get and encourage people to fight for your marriage. If you are not married and you're in a courtship, how to approach the courtship the proper way and make the right decision, not an emotional decision. And if you're single, listen, stay chaste, male or female, hold yourself. And that is how we have to do this. So I thank you, dear sister, and I thank Brother James and Sister Ruth and her husband just for what you're giving, because I'm not just excited about being the co-host, but I'm always excited about the information that's being shared, because I do, too, take notes. So with that being said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's get busy.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Well, let me tell you, this subject matter came to me, for those of you who know, I am a counselor. I've been a marriage counselor for 27 years. And when it comes to the believers, I counsel for free. And, you know, I'm just lately in the last year or so been inundated with believers actually being tried in in their marriage. Oh, bless you, brother. In their marriages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want us to get on this self-righteous tip. Because anybody that knows me, I'm going to keep it 100 with you no matter what. And we face the same problems as anyone else do in our marriage. But I want to believe, and I do believe, that we have been blessed with the tools given to us in the Holy Quran by Allah, and we have been blessed with the establishment of the courtship process given to us in the Nation of Islam that would help us avoid some of the conflicts that the average person may encounter in their marriages. And so when I hear so much despair and so much chaos within the Muslim marriage, it's quite disturbing, and I'm just being honest. And so in order for us to really deal with this situation, I think that there are certain things that we need to talk about publicly. And the first thing, in my opinion, Student Minister James, is that I think it boils down to an understanding of marriage and the role that the husband and wife play. And in the Quran, it says that Allah has indeed created man and woman to be natural counterparts of one another. They are natural companions. And it says Allah has destined that they will find comfort and repose with one another. And then it says, finally, Allah tells us that he has put love and compassion between them. And I don't know, Brother James, in your opinion, maybe you can tell me what you think, but maybe it's the foundation of how a lot of marriages these days are beginning that takes us out of the realm of really striving to be successful. So I'm going to yield to you, Brother James, and you just share with us your opinion on this situation.
Well, yes, ma'am. And, you know, dear sister, you're absolutely right. The divorce rate, unfortunately, is very pervasive, say inordinately pervasive, in the nation and without the nation. And it is as a result of the mindset that those who enter into this process called marriage, which is not really a uniting. First and foremost, we must understand that the utterance of any vows before a minister or a preacher or a judge does not unite necessarily the man and the woman. It puts them on a journey and into a process by which and through which they ultimately will become united. But this is a lifelong process. And the underpinning of this process is that it is a microcosm, if you will, of what Allah God experienced in his own self-creation. It is a test of will. It is a test of discipline. It is a test of commitment. It is a test of love. It is a test of honor, patience. It is a test of friendship. It is a test of, I mean, it is a test in every aspect of the word. But this is what we do not understand. We expect, we have expectations as we get married, and many times marriage is without proper counsel, and many times marriage is initiated or the entering into the process is initiated on material, physical premise, We just don't know what the hell we're doing by and large. Look at what Allah says in the Quran. In the fourth surah or chapter of the Quran, and I want to read from both the Maulana Muhammad Ali and the Yusuf Ali translations, because the verbiage differing in some areas gives us light on what Allah God intends for us, where the unity of men and women are concerned. In the Maulana Muhammad Ali, we read, and of course I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. O people, keep your duty to your Lord. And I'd like us to underscore that word duty and to whom that duty should be kept. First and foremost, it doesn't say first and foremost, keep your duty, O mankind, O people, which is better because it includes both man and women. Keep your duty to your Lord, first and foremost, as the criteria who created you from a single being and created its mate of the same kind and spread from these two many men and women. Your duty to Allah, by whom you demand one of another your rights. Well, there it is. We have rights that we can demand on our wives, and our wives have rights that they can make demands on us according to. But it is by the standard given to us by Allah. By Allah. And not only that, and to the ties of relationship. There are relationships or ties of relationships that are formed when we enter into the process. Those ties of relationships specifically refer to the family of the wife and the family of the husband. Surely Allah is ever a watcher over you. So we have in this expression of this first ayat in the fourth surah of Maulana Muhammad Ali as duty or of duty to our Lord, and the demands that we make being standardized by Allah our Lord, but also in the process there must be respect and duty to the ties of relationship that are formed as a result of entering into the marriage process. Now, Yusuf Ali, O mankind, and again, and it reads, in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, O mankind, reverence your guardian Lord who created you from a single person, created of like nature his mate, and from them twain, scattered like seeds, countless men and women. Reverence God, through whom ye demand your mutual rights. But here, that is not mentioned in the Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, it states, and reverence the wombs that bore you. For God ever watches over you. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that word reverence means respect tinged with worship. So not only are we to reverence our guardian Lord who created us, but we are also to reverence the wombs that bore us. Now this has many different meanings on many different levels, as our birthing process from one stage into another stage until we reach ultimate perfection happens on many, many levels. But the first stage, the first womb, is the womb of the woman. Because the womb of the woman represents the womb of God. It represents the triple darkness out of which Allah God created himself. That darkness, that same darkness is in the womb. So we are to reverence Allah God, our guardian Lord, but we are also to reverence the process by which he came into being and the womb from which or out of which he came into being. See, this is the premise now. We're getting the basis of our mindsets or dispositions of mind as we enter into this marriage process. Now, how many of us, when we got married or are getting married, consider these things? Don't answer.
Brother James?
Can you hear me?
I can now. Yes, sir. You went blank for a second.
Oh, I don't know what happened. I hadn't moved, but...
We heard you say, when you say don't answer, that's when you cut out.
Oh, okay. Well, very good. As I said, I already know, based on circumstances that prevail, that many of us, most of us didn't, and most of us do not, and most of us are not considering this great wisdom and premise given to us by Almighty God Allah. As a result, when marriage enters into troubled waters, as it will definitely enter into troubled waters, there's no question about it. Why? Because if it resembles God's own self-creation, well, he was warring with the darkness. He was.
Yes, sir.
That's why he's a natural warrior. He was warring with the darkness of the womb out of which he came. So naturally, we're going to enter into troubled times, hardship, disagreement. Well, what happens at that time? Do we forget that the rights now, and it's usually because we believe either our wives have violated our right demands or our husbands or your husbands have violated their right to make demands, but based on what? Each other. Not according to the Quran, on Allah by whom we demand one of another our rights. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, as I close my statement, he said, punk out on marriage, then God already knows you won't make the journey to him. Because marriage is the prerequisite. Marriage is the example of what we must go through successfully to become one with him. And this is why he says he hates divorce. Because the purpose for which he created man, he states very clearly, I love that I be known, therefore I created man. And if man is the vehicle through which God will be made known, And he brings man along the same lines that he himself came into being or brought himself into being, and then we punk out on that. Pardon my cheap expression. We abort the process. Then how will God be made known through the man whom he created that aborted the process by which he came, he comes into his godhood or comes into a manifestation of the God that created him? So he allows divorce, but he hates divorce. You see? All right, I'm going to stop there. I don't wish to dominate the time.
Yes, sir. I'm going to let Brother Kadeem ask a question of Sister Ruth or Brother James before I come back on. And I want to remind the listening audience, more than likely at the top of the hour, we will start taking questions. So for those of you who are calling by phone, I understand that I need to order some more lines. I have requested some more lines. So if you all are listening on the computer, give me about 15 minutes. We should have some additional lines open for you. But those of you who are on call now, if you want to ask a question of anyone, please press one on your dial pad, and we will take your question in the order in which they came in. Okay, Brother Kadeem.
Yes, ma'am. I have a question for Brother James, and I want to ask this question because I know that there are people in the audience, the listening audience, in or out of the nation that have gone through divorce. And Brother James stated, and I'm going to quote, that if you punk out on marriage, then God knows that you, something to the effect, can't handle the process of the promise meeting with God. Something to that effect, but Brother James could correct exactly what I'm saying. But
no,
now here's my question.
Principally, you're saying it, brother.
Yes, sir.
Principally, you're saying what I said.
It's this. Because there has to be hope. Now, Brother James, you performed my wedding.
Yes, sir.
And today, I'm ashamed, but not ashamed to share that I am divorced. And have been divorced now 3 years. And I think back on that, and then I'm listening to what you're saying, then what hope would you say, scripturally, biblically, Quranically, is there for the believer, brother, sister, whoever, that have undergone the divorce process on the promised journey, still striving to become one with Allah?
Well, certainly there's hope. There's no question about it. But the question here, dear brother, is do we love what Allah loves and do we hate what Allah hates?
Yes, sir.
See, simply stated, and I am stating it simply, but that's the reality. If we love what Allah loves, then we will do what Allah wants.
That's right.
If we hate what Allah hates, then we will not do that which Allah hates. Which means what? Now, that's not a quick fix when we have problems, Brother Kadeem, in our marriage. But
yes,
primarily, what it means is we fight like hell. As the minister said yesterday or the day before at the believers' meeting, he stated that. He said that you are to do all that you can possibly do before the decree of divorce is agreed upon or the decision of divorce is agreed upon. Look, it's not easy, brother. But I would say this, and I'm not using myself as an example, but I am using my marriage as an example. And the reason why I'm using it wasn't because Sister Joanne and I were so wise and so holy. God knows I wasn't. She may have been, but I damn sure wasn't.
Yes, sir.
Excuse my language. But
amen.
when we decided to marry, we took divorce as an option and threw it into the sea of non-existence.
Come on.
That's right.
It was not an option. We took it off the table, threw it out the window, buried it.
Yes, sir.
Never to be seen again.
Yes, sir.
And therefore, we were forced to work it out.
That's right.
We were forced
and
to
I, and
work
I, and
it
I
out.
Wanted to add to that, Brother James, because, and again, I understand my position, where I'm at. But when I think on the mercy of Allah, you know, at some point, and I let everybody know there is no excuse. Because hindsight being 20/20, I think that I could have fought harder for the marriage. But there's a lesson in every single thing in life. And we all should know that in the mercy of Allah, yes, Allah hates divorce. But there's always mercy, you know, when you don't. If at first you don't succeed, you try and try again. Well,
that's right.
If you can learn from the mistake, learn from the errors, and don't make the same mistake twice. And as you just stated, and the minister stated, you have to go through all. You have to go through all options, and divorce not being one. You have to go through counseling. Do it again. You counsel as many times as you should. But I think, and this is why I believe, dear Brother James, that in our nation, I believe, and it's just my opinion here, that every single believer should be audited before he or she is allowed to enter the marriage. Now, you may have some believers that say, I don't feel like I should go through that too. Well, that's your choice, but it will be a wise decision to clear up a lot in your own mind before you enter into that process, because that is a very beautiful process. I've never been the one to say, hey, don't get married. You know, a lot of divorced people will say, man, marriage, this, that, the other. I'm not that. Marriage was the most beautiful thing ever in my life, next to the coming of Master Farah Muhammad, his Christ, and my being introduced to these teachings.
Well, dear brother, I agree with you to the extent that auditing should be very, very, very seriously encouraged, but to make it a mandate is another thing altogether, to make it mandatory.
Sir.
Let's look at what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states. He stated this in a lecture he gave. Marriage is the most, and now I'm being verbatim, marriage is the most sacred of all institutions, for it commits a man and a woman to struggle to become as one. Whenever any individual approaches the married person with desires of adultery, that person has encroached upon that which is sacred. The keeper of the vow, the male and the female, must be like a sentry on post to guard against any intrusion into that which is sacred by that which is profane. This lays an important duty on each mate, that is to forbid the entry into the sacred precincts of marriage anything that is destructive of this institution, even to thoughts, imagery, or fantasy of another individual other than the husband or wife. Remember, as a man or woman thinketh in his or her heart, so is he or she. He continued, bear with me, please. When the marriage is not going well, The first thought must never be divorce. If the two persons and their advisors, parents, friends, imams, pastors, or spiritual advisors have reached an impasse, then a separation is proper. However, separation is to be made or is made to give the two persons space and time to reconsider each other and their problems with the thought toward possible reconciliation. If the differences are so great after separation and attempt at reconciliation, divorce is then and only then a strong consideration. During the time of separation, and I want us to hear this because we violate this. During the time of separation, no one, I repeat, no one should be allowed to interfere with the process of reconciliation. The married persons must never permit a stranger or anyone into the sacred precincts of their hearts or minds while reconciliation is being attempted. As long as there is no divorce, the righteous are forbidden to look around and entertain other persons. I want to read that again. As long as there is no divorce,
that's right,
the righteous are forbidden to look around and entertain other persons, and anyone who allows themselves to be entertained by married persons who are seeking a divorce or are separated is, in effect, interfering with the possibility of reconciliation. Therefore, these actions are punishable, if not by the law of man, certainly by the law of Allah God. What this indicates, dear family, is that when people are having problems with their marriage, this should be an ever so secret condition between them and their counselor. Now, I'm going to say that again, because when marriages are in trouble, it gets all over the place. I'm telling you what I know. Therefore, when marriages have problems, it must be an ever so secret affair so that those who have lust in their hearts for the woman and desires for the men will not instigate or assert themselves, insinuate themselves into the process of reconciliation, hoping, because they have designs on the woman or designs on the man, that they will ultimately divorce. So now's my chance. Hell no. So those, or all the rest of that, the editorializing, that was me. That wasn't the minister. But that's his sentiment. I can guarantee that. So I'll close my response to you, Brother Kadeem. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And I don't want us to leave our dear sister out. Sister Ruth, are you still with us? Sister Ruth?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, I don't have problems with my phone. I'm trying to unmute it and it won't let me. But yes, ma'am, still here.
Okay.
Praise be to Allah.
This is what I want to ask you, dear sister, in absence of Brother Stanley. I really wanted you and Brother Stanley to kind of comment on this.
Brother Stanley just came in the door, Sister Queen Aziza. So he's on.
Allahu Akbar.
Okay.
and Brother James is just going out of the door.
Oh, no, you're not.
I can hear you, son. You've been doing a magnificent job like you always do. And I just have been enjoying the word and your spirit. and may Allah continue to bless you, my dear brother.
And you too, dear brother, and I'm telling you, I'm a poor replacement for you in this, brother. But I did the best I could with the help of Allah, brother.
Excellent.
Please. Okay, so Sister Ruth, does Brother Stanley, is he going to call in, or are you all going to share phones?
We'll share phones if that's easier.
Okay, all right. Whatever's convenient for you. Okay, I want to, you know, I titled this show, Husbands, How Much Do You Love Your Wife? And I don't want the brothers to start flipping because next week, you know, I'm going to flip it and I'm going to do the sisters, How Much Do You Love Your Husbands? But the reason why I asked that question is because either we take it too lightly or either the brothers seriously don't have a clue of how important their role is in the lives of women and girls. And I don't think they have an honest idea of how critical and how vital it is for a man, and a black man, and particularly in this day, in this time, in this hour, to be led or allow himself to be led by the Christ. Because I don't think that a man understands his responsibility when it comes to the woman in totality. And, you know, I know there are a lot of brothers out here, and I'm just going to keep it real. Y'all get mad at me. You know, I don't care. A lot of brothers get married. They say, okay, I want to complete my deen. I want to get married. I want to just be able to get my freak on when I want to. I don't want to have to be facing no time. I don't want nobody asking me no questions. The sister look good. She say she can cook. She say she can clean. Hey, that's all I need. But the love and the establishment of the foundation in which Allah designed marriage is so absent today. You know, it's just so far gone. And it says that the first foundation of a Muslim is marriage, and the second foundation is that in that marriage, the physical and mental and emotional bonding and the compassion between them must be firm. You know, it must be firm and based upon love and compassion. And it's sad, but it's true, Brother Stanley. Sister Ruth, it just seems to be so absent today. So, Brother Stanley, you being a devout Muslim and a wonderful husband, I want Sister Ruth to share with us how it feels and how it has benefited her to have a husband who truly loves her. And Brother Stanley, I want you to expound, if you would, on the importance of allowing Christ to be your head and how has that helped you in your marriage and how has it helped you to keep your wife happy.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
It feels good. I'm about to be James Brown.
Go ahead, Sister Ruth.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, to whom praises are due to forever and ever. And I bear witness that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted Christ. And I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, teacher, and guide. You know, and I believe he's Jesus in our midst. And I say because of my belief in those men, it's a testimony of my life. Because if it was not for them, I would not be here. I would not live the life that I am striving to live. So I have to give credit to those men because it is because of them that I can say I feel good. And I want to start off by reading what husband means. And I'm going to start off with the dictionary. And husband is a man married, and it says manager. And it also says a prudent or frugal manager. And it also says to till and cultivate, conserve.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And then when you look up prudent, it means wise or judicious in practical affairs, discreet, sober. And then another definition for that is careful in providing for the future.
Mm,
and then frugal is economical in use or in expenditure. Prudently saving or sparing, not wasteful. So when I looked up the definition of husband, and I think about, you know, with the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan teaching, you know, the FOI on the true meaning of husband. And by him, you know, is that we have to go back and we have to know who we are. We have to be taught, you know, who he has to be taught who he is, what is his nature. The woman has to be taught who she is, what is her nature. And when a husband is taught the true meaning of husband, then strives to live up to that. And I can say by Allah's grace that my husband, you know, being in the Nation of Islam, has practiced husbandry. He has, you know, has been a manager of our affairs in our home. You know, he's always studying, studious, so that he can be wise, so that he can mm-hmm. be able to teach his family. You know, he wakes up the family for prayer. And he gives us a you know, a kutba, you know, for hours at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Go ahead, Brother Stanley.
You know, yes, so he is practicing the life of a husband. You know, he is sober minded. You know, he doesn't rush to judgment, you know. Sometimes I can be, you know, more emotional, even when it comes to our children, their disobedience, or, you know, sometimes the rebellion, you know, seeps out. You know, he's sober-minded. He looks at the word, and then he gives them what, you know, what does Allah say? What does Allah teach us? You know, when sometimes I just want to bring the wrath down. And he also, he provides. You know, he's a provider. I have not worked by Allah's grace in 24 years. You know, he's always been my provider by Allah's grace. He has provided for our children. You know, our children, they've been blessed to go to Muslim private school, you know, and we've been frugal. You know, I couldn't afford expensive things, you know. But I made it happen by being frugal. I bought things that were nice, that were least expensive. So I helped him in that, you know, in that way to be able to, you know, for us to save and not be wasteful. So when I look up the definition, it really says to me that my husband is a striving husband. You know, mm-hmm. that he is striving to live up to that title. And then you have in the scriptures, it talks about, you know, some of the prophets of God being husbandmen and the earth, you know, being the vineyard. Then you have those wicked husbandmen that, you know, did not take care of the vineyard and allow the vineyard to die. What I would say is that the type of husband that Allah has blessed me with is a husbandman that has taken care of me, and has blessed me to grow, to be able to bear fruit for Allah. You know, so I think that when that husband takes care of that vineyard the way that Allah has instructed him to take care of that vineyard, then that vineyard will produce good fruit for that husband. You know, so I would say that it's been a blessing, and I thank Allah for my husband, and I pray that, you know, we will stay in this journey, you know, until death do us apart, you know, because this is the, like the brother said, you know, the best journey that I ever been in. And the real husbandman to us is Allah, you know. Mm-hmm. And if Allah is the real husbandman in our life, then like the scripture says, God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. So it all follows in that same path. And as long as we in that same path, we're going to be successful. It's not saying that we're not going to be tried or we're not going to go through things, but we are going to be the overcomers. We are going to be the achievers. So I thank Allah for blessing me to have a wonderful husband.
All praises be to Allah.
And I thank Allah for him. And Allah only knows, you know, what's in my heart. And I thank him, and I pray that, you know, I don't, you know, show him ingratitude for the gift that he has given me, you know. So that's what I would start off with, sister, is that I've been blessed, you know, by Allah, to have a man that is striving to be a husband.
Yes, ma'am. All praises to Allah. And Brother Stanley?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Queen. Assalamu alaikum to everyone on the panel and to the listening audience, which means may God's peace be upon you. Well,
yes, sir.
The importance of having Christ as your head, as my wife quoted in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it speaks about how God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. That's the spiritual protocol that will allow a man to be the head of woman. There is a prerequisite that Christ is that man's head. And if Christ is that man's head, it disqualifies him to actually be the head of woman, because woman is not man's woman. Woman is God's woman.
That's right.
And the problem is, like the minister shares with us, men of this world do not desire a righteous woman. Now, the minister said to us that everyone that's in the mosque does not mean the mosque is in them. And we have to make sure that we understand everyone in the church don't mean the church is in them. Everyone in the synagogue don't mean the synagogue is in them. And the women have to understand what the Holy Quran says in chapter 4, verse 28. Allah desires to make light your burdens, and man is created weak.
Come on, Brother Stanley.
See, if man is created weak, then if you have a man that Christ is not his head, all you have is a weak man.
That's right.
And he lives for the lust of his flesh. See, men are very lustful creatures, Sister Queen. I say that.
Yes, sir.
Men are very lustful creatures because they're created weak. And the only way that they can actually grow from weakness to strength, Christ is the one that has to be their head. And look at what Proverbs says. And it poses a question in Proverbs chapter 20. It's very interesting. Look at this now. In light of what I just read about men created weak. This is in the New International Version. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find. The righteous man leads a blameless life, lest are his children after him. And it talks about many men claim to have unfailing love, but then what follows behind that declaration, but who can find a faithful man? Why is it hard to find faithful men in the world? Even after they lip profess saying they have unfailing love, but when it comes to faithfulness, it don't square up. It's because they have given up on living a Christ-like life. And women have a fiduciary duty to God to make a man for God. But a woman can't do that if she's seeking a man out of her own desires. What do I mean by that? You can tell if a woman seeking a man out of her own desires, she only complains when he does not cater to her personal needs. But if he doesn't keep his duty to God, there's no complaint. If he doesn't pray, she says nothing, but long as he gives her a diamond ring. If he doesn't give 10% of his earnings, it's all right, long as he gives her a check. If he doesn't fast, she doesn't complain long as he doesn't starve her. So this is a woman that really she wants to be a God beside God. She wants a man because it's for her own personal emotions, her own personal desires. She doesn't want a man to serve God. She wants a man to serve her. And unfortunately, Sister Queen,
yes, sir.
Most women are seeking validation from men and not God.
You better say that
again. I'm sorry?
I just say you need to say that one again.
Yeah, the minister, this is what the minister said. I apologize. The Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan said in study guide number 19, most women are seeking validation from man and not from God.
Come on, brother.
But isn't it interesting in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, it says, God, talking to women now. He's not talking to men. He's talking to women. Listen to what it says. This is a declaration of what God tells a woman. It's in verse 5. For your Lord, or for your Maker, is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. See, I ain't got no husband, for your Maker is your husband. And my wife so beautifully defined what a husband is. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth.
Yes.
The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit. Married young only to be rejected, says your God. So if you're married and you're young and you're rejected by your husband, God says, I am your husband.
Right.
He will reject you, but I will never reject you. Only it's you that have been rejecting me.
think about that.
A man is not an adequate replacement for God, and that's why women are hurt. That's why women are disappointed, because they're trying to have the man stand in the place of God.
Right.
Come on, brother Stanley.
And then it says, for a brief moment, I have abandoned you. With deep compassion, I will bring you back. For a brief moment, I have abandoned you because you have abandoned me. So I let you have your free will.
Go ahead.
Let that nigga on the corner be your man. Let him be your God. And whatever his weaknesses are, it will become yours, because whatever you bow down to and make a God beside me, his imperfection will become yours.
Right.
That's right. Teach,
you bow down to me, I will make you into myself.
Go ahead.
See? So I have abandoned you for a brief moment, he says. And then he says, but with deep compassion. See, Allah is compassionate.
Yeah.
That means his chief attribute is beneficence. He feels your pain as a woman. He feels your hurt. He knows you're brokenhearted. He knows you're wounded. But in Psalms 147, verse 3, God said, I heal the brokenhearted, and I bind up your wounds, not your counselor.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Stan.
Not your girlfriend who you're crying to on the phone. She's not going to heal your broken heart or bind up your wound. You got to put your mug to the rug, as Brother Mustafa says to the Supreme Captain.
Mm-hmm.
You got to bow down to your Lord.
That's right.
All the way into a fetal position. And except you come to God as a child, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, Sister Queen, I have read Proverbs 20, verse 6. And it says in verse 7, a righteous man leads a blameless life.
Mm.
How can you be blameless as a man in Satan's world?
Oh, yeah.
And God said to Abram, I close with this, Sister Queen, in Genesis 17, verse 1, he gives him instruction. I would like to just read it real quickly. I don't like to paraphrase, but I got the book in front of me. Because it's very important for a man to know how to live a blameless life or walk a blameless life in Satan's world. See, Jesus, who is the master of prophets, he said, I'm in the world, but I am not of the world. And Jesus and God will not give us a command, Sister Queen, that we can't fulfill. Why would he give a command that we can't fulfill?
Come
it's
on,
the
brother.
Satan in us that makes us think that we can't do it.
Right.
Well, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said God destroyed the impossibility when he created himself. So doubt is an enemy to faith. That's why women can't find a faithful man.
Mm.
Because he's doubting he can live the law. He's doubting he can resist the strip club. He's doubting he can resist that woman next door.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But Allah says in the Holy Quran, Surah 10, verse 9, he guides us by our faith. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. If we want to please God, we got to have faith.
That's right.
We can't walk by sight. We got to walk by faith. I know we feel like we can't do it, but God said we can do it. Let's put our faith in his word. Not in our own thoughts. So here, Abraham, he's a friend of God. And when Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Wow. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk your post. black man in a perfect manner. He was always on the alert for that smart, crooked deceiver with big breasts and a big behind and showing all to you.
Come on, Brother Stanley.
Trying to take you off your post called marriage.
Go ahead, yes.
Trying to take you off your post in your wedding vow or sisters with that brother who might be buff with a beautiful smile and handsome and smooth words. Trying to take you off your post.
Huh.
Huh. Talking about how cute you are and you ain't had no man say you cute in a long time. Giving you a rose that's same raggedy rose he gave to five different women he took from five different women.
Go ahead.
Seeking validation from man opposes seeking the pleasure of God. Women got to walk your post.
Come on, Brother Stanley, teach.
Keeping always on the alert for some man who talk in the word of God but living the life of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But then it says, walk before me and be thou perfect. The Honorable Mistress Farrakhan asked, he gave an exegesis of this scripture. He asked the question, how can you walk perfect before the Lord? He said the diameter of God's instructions, his law, his statute prescribes the circumference of your activity. So from the diameter, you get your circumference. So whatever you walk, you walk from the instructions of God. You act from the instruction of God. You live from the instruction of God. Everything you do, you can trace it to God's law, trace it to God's word, trace it to his instruction. And when you stay within that circle, that circumference, you are protected from Satan. And you will live a perfect marriage. And you will live a perfect life. And so, Sister Queen, I thank Allah for my wife, reminding me when I don't pray. Not that I don't want to pray, but she would say, baby, it's prayer time. Oh, yeah, thank you, honey. That's a wife.
Come on.
I can tell you, Sister Ruth, really concerned about me being more of a man of God than a man of money. She'd rather for me to be poor but righteous. She is a woman that don't mind speaking truth to power. I know you got the authority by God, but I'm going to tell you what the truth is, and the truth is more authoritative than you. Got more power than you. Well, sit down and let me tell you something. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know that so-and-so won't write. Okay, you're right.
Go ahead, Brother Stanley.
See?
Ooh. Yes,
what
sir.
Is she doing? She's making a man for God.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes she's not direct. She's indirect because sometimes men can't take direct guidance, direct correction from a woman. So she's real subtle. She talked to me about another brother, what he did wrong, and what the minister said about it. And I said, really? And I said, oh, I did the same thing. I'm thinking to myself, she knows that. That's anesthesia. That's a wise woman. See? And a wise woman, she is. And she knows how to build up her man with wisdom. That's why I'm here. After 25 years of us being together, 24 years being married, I'm still here because she is my friend. and she is a woman of God. And there's a big difference between a woman captured by Satan and a woman of God. I love her, and I thank Allah for her. And when I know that days I feel rejected and despised by many, you know, we all, black men, feel, we all get that feeling like we're by ourselves. But when I think about the companion God has given me, I can always go home and get that kiss on the cheek and say, I love my, she called me Sugar Wooga. I love my Sugar Wooga. I said, I don't know where you get that from. It's short time good. Sister Queen, I don't know where you get it from, but it sure sounds comforting. You know why it's so comforting? Because I'm the only one that can wear that title, Sugar Woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Sound very ghetto and Afrocentric put together, Wooga.
Hey, go ahead, Brother Stanley.
But anyway, we have a good time, and she picks my spirit up because I can be myself. And I thank Allah for my marriage. I thank Allah for my family. And I thank Allah for the believing community. And so that's how I would answer that question. I hope I wasn't too long, Sister Queen. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yes, sir. And I want to remind the listening audience, go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad. We are going to take some questions, and then we're going to let Brother Kadeem ask a question. But I have a few questions in the tap room, and I did order some more phone lines. So, inshallah, they are up and working. And I had a question emailed to me, and the person wants to remain anonymous. And the person says, because I'm not going to identify gender, it says, I have a question that has been on my heart for some time now. And after hearing our dear Minister Louis Farrakhan at the Believers meeting, I must ask it finally. Please, I wish to hear Student Minister Stanley's thoughts. If while in courtship and you have broken the restrictive law but have stopped this unlawful behavior but wish to proceed into marriage, can it work? If so, how? Or should you just move on with a hard lesson learned never to repeat this again? I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say, if we start off wrong, it most likely will end. I do want us to work, but can it really? Please ask him on tonight's show. I wish to remain anonymous.
Sister Aziza?
Yes.
Sister Aziza, Brother Stanley, Brother Kadeem, and my beloved Sister Ruth, I'm going to have to ask all of you if you would please excuse me. Can I be excused?
Yes, sir.
At this time?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Brother James, my wife said no, sir.
Oh, my God, boy. Sister Ruth.
Guess you heard that.
I know. And put ordinarily.
Put your order. Put your post only when properly released.
Only when properly released. But I have a post.
Properly released you, so.
I know. But someone else has put me on a post, brother, that I have unfortunately violated the 5th general order with that. So I want to ask you. I want to ask you all, you know, this is such a wonderful forum, and this is why I respectfully request your permission to be excused at this time.
You
please.
Are properly redeemed.
Oh, thank you, Sister. And Sister Ruth.
Hey, Sister Ruth needs you. You better run.
And Sister Ruth, I know you can't see me, but I'm standing erect. with a crisp salute. Now, now you have to say ready front so I can move out.
Ready front. Yes, Sister Joanne,
thank,
greetings.
Thank
brother.
You, Brother Daniel.
You're very welcome, and thank you all. I love you all, and I certainly will give her the greetings from all of you.
Yes,
please
do.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Please do.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum
salam, brother.
Okay. All right. So, Brother Stanley, that question was for you.
All right. With the anonymous believer that asked that question, the Holy Quran says in chapter 16, well, Allah,
mm-hmm.
Allah says in verse 61 of chapter 16, and if Allah were to destroy men for their iniquity, he would not leave therein a single creature. So that means that if he would judge us for our sins, and he would destroy us if we are found guilty, not one single soul would be left alive on the earth. Both have to have the mutual agreement that the restricted law infraction that they engaged in was wrong, and they confessed it was wrong, and there is repentance. Repentance means that you change your attitude towards that particular behavior. Both have to agree, not just one person. Why? Because in the Al-Fatiha, we say 32 times a day if we're saying all of our five daily prayers. Oh, Allah, guide us on the straight path. Why do we say us and not me? Because you can be guided on the straight path, but your brother to your right and your sister to your left, if they're not on the straight path, then they can take you off the path. So if you marry a spouse that does not really view that infraction as you view it with the mind of repentance, you can have repented, but if they have not repented, I would not move forward with that because they will wind up taking you off the path and get you to do it one more time. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. In The Torchlight for America on page 100, to 101. Listen to what the minister says. Imagine if that person you're in courtship with did not see it the same way you see it. I'm not talking about lip profession. They can say, oh yeah, I agree. But their actions have not changed. See, the words begin to degrade. See, when a man or woman change, their language changes. They keep the language spiritual. But if they have not changed, eventually they're going to go right back to the language of what you're wearing. Oh, you sure? Subtle suggestion. They'll test you with subtlety. You know? Oh, you sure look good. See? So trying to get you to do that act one more time. So the minister says, after a negative relationship, part of healing has to be that we be removed from the environment that facilitates our wrongdoing. Most of us are not strong enough to fight against wrong influences when we remain in a wrong environment. It behooves us to make a change when we face circumstances like this. It's counterproductive to flirt with trouble. A woman who wishes to stay away from fornication or adultery cannot spend too much time around an old boyfriend. He will only want to use you until he is reformed. He may try to get you in the wrong place at the wrong time under the wrong circumstances so you will do the wrong thing one more time. After you do the wrong thing one more time, you feel dirty. God is trying to make a new mind in us. If we are fortunate enough to hear and accept God's truth, it will take root in us and wrong won't seem right anymore. So here God is trying to put his word in our heart that it can take root. And when his word takes root, wrong won't look right anymore. You know that song says, loving you is wrong. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. That's an attitude of certain people.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And see, that person don't need to be around you when you're trying to be right. So I would say to the sister or brother that if you sit down with a counselor, like the minister said, he's not going to ordain any marriage in the nation without counseling. He said that on Tuesday. And you sit down and you talk to a counselor because there's more information that needs to be asked about your relationship. I learned this as a premarital counselor and a marriage counselor. And if I can know more information, I can better guide you. But I would say this, your heart can be changed, but if that other person's heart is not changed, you don't want to move forward with that because they can change your heart against God's law and then you only not lose your salvation. But in the long run, you'll lose your spouse because they're really not in love with you. They're in love with themselves.
Right.
They're living for the lust of the flesh. So don't even fall for the old, you know, smooth talk that people talk. Yeah, give it some time. Watch the action. But give yourself time to get rooted in God's word.
Right.
Don't try to rush back in the relationship because you're lonely or you feel like this is the right one for you. No. Give yourself 90 days. Give yourself time. You don't need no captain to give you time. Time out of that relationship. And then do some soul searching. And then if you still want to pursue the relationship, sit down with that student minister and his wife, and then let them listen to your reasoning, and then let them guide you based upon the word of God. But I would say that you have violated the courtship when you violate the law. And the minister did say the motive of why two people come together will determine how long the relationship will last. Well, you got to check your motive, why you want to be with this person. And he, you know, the other person had to check their motive, why they want to be with you. So atonement can give you a new beginning if you go through the 8 steps properly. It can. But you got to make sure this is the right one. Because whoever initiated the actions of violating the law, and then the other one just got weak, well, you need to really examine that, and I wouldn't jump right back into a relationship like that at all. That's how I would answer that.
Yes, sir. Okay, and I want to yield to Brother Kadeem if he has a question, because we got a lot of questions. So, Brother Kadeem, if you have a question for Student Minister Sam or Sister Ruth.
I actually don't, dear sister. I mean, I have a lot to say, but I want to hold back on what I have to say because I really what Brother Stanley just shared with respect to the question by the anonymous individual was a great answer. And I really think we should, I just want to get more questions or hear more questions from the listening audience, be it in the chat room or a call in, because this is a great learning experience and tool tonight. And I really ask, I can hold back on what it is that I actually have to ask. So if we can
Okay, well, I have a question from a brother who's going to remain anonymous. Okay, he says, I am tired of arguing with my wife. Yes, I do love her, but she is never satisfied. I have to work, and I work two jobs. I am not off on days that she wants to go to certain events or places. She is at home and does not work. We have a seven-month-old daughter, and I know she may want to get away and go places, but my hands are tied. What do I do?
Oh, dear sister, I think I can be an expert there.
Okay, well, Brother Stanley, Brother Kadeem, whoever wants to answer the question, both of y'all can answer.
Well, if I may, Brother Stanley.
Absolutely.
You know, dear brother, when I was married, that was one of the complaints of my ex-wife at the time, that I was never home. She didn't care about the house we were in. She didn't care about the car, you know. And my excuse was, as brother was, well, I'm out working. If I'm not working, I was out pushing the program, or I was, you know, I was a coordinator in our city, so I was always busy. And after the fact, when everything failed, dear brother, and you want to be careful because you don't want any of a marriage to fail, we have to go back to study guide number 4, the struggle for balance. And that's where I think we fail sometimes as husbands. We have to be able to balance work, the mission, and family. And as a matter of fact, a few Thursdays ago, Sister Ruth said it, Brother Stanley said it, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, the order of our life is God, family, nation. Because that's the proper protocol. And if we're not in order with that protocol. Now, I would say this. Brother, say I'm working two jobs. I am willing to bet that there is at least 30 minutes, an hour every single day that you can find to spend with your spouse. Because at the end of the day, I find all the woman wants is some of our time. And if you have a 7-month-year-old, she probably wants some of your help, because we don't know. We didn't carry a child for the 9-month period. We don't know how tired that is. The baby cries and get up in the morning. So we have to be able to balance our time with our spouses, no matter what it is. And I think it was last Thursday that Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth shared, if there's a demand in the home, or something in the home. I got to call out of the mosque. Now, if I'm going to call out for the mosque, most certainly I'm going to call off my job. Listen, I can't make it tonight. I have to take care of the most important thing, which is my family. Well, on the other side, you might be saying, well, without my job, I can't handle this. Allah is the best knower. And I think that if we are willing to do that, God will bless us with that. You know, it doesn't say you're going to get fired. Hell, what would you rather be, divorced or fired? I can keep my wife. I may not, you know, I want to keep my wife. I can get another job. I don't really want to get another wife. We got a child together. So we have to find the struggle for balance, no matter what it is. And I know the thinking is, I just got to do the job. We got this. We got that. I got this to handle. But that's why also, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to steal away unless we learn to steal away and do for ourselves. This is a part of what happens when we're not doing that. Because more than likely, and it's just guessing now, more than likely if we're not putting that any time in the home, we're also not putting any time in the mission. So you're going to get pressure from your captain, pressure from your lieutenant, pressure from your wife, your responsibilities, your duties, pressure from whoever you're working with. Now you feel like you're under all this pressure. So you really have to work to find the struggle for balance. No matter how painful it is, dear brother, we have to be able to find that balance. Because, again, without family, there is no nation. And we have to be able to struggle to find that balance to keep our home life a happy life. And I will yield to Brother Stanley.
Okay, praise
okay,
be to
Brother
Allah.
Stanley.
Thank you, Brother Kadeem. Well, I would say this. The minister said the balance in our, well, let me start like this. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said, heaven lies at the foot of the woman. Woman is heaven for us. But what can give heaven, the minister says, also can give hell. And the reason why she creates hell in our life, because she is a barometer of God, letting us know if we are doing something right or doing something wrong. Just like that needle on your vehicle dashboard, it determines if your car is overheating. It's a barometer. You don't have to look under the hood. It will show you. You got pulled over or you're going to destroy your engine. Well, if your wife is hot with you, it's a barometer that God is hot with you. That's what a woman is. Because the woman's like the earth. Anything that you want in life is in the earth. Cars, homes, jewelry, everything comes out of the earth. But if you're not a good miner, Sister Queen, all she is earth.
Huh. Yes, sir.
If you're a miner, if you're a good miner, you can get a home from that earth, a beautiful mansion. Look at them big mansions. It all comes from the earth. Look at them, the Bentley and the Rolls Royce. It comes from the earth. You can be a man and say, I'm providing for my wife. You stole the money, baby. And you're ignorant. You know, woman want a man that just brings the money is ignorant. The book of Corinthians tells the women, if you actually want to know anything, go home and ask your husband. How is she going to ask you, and every time she asks you, you don't know? So there's something in your marriage that's causing your wife to be disappointed. You can't leave your wife home all day. My wife's a homemaker. And she's home all day, you know, caring for your children. Don't do that. Stop that. Baby crying. She's talking baby language all day. And you too busy to come home and now communicate with her? We're social beings. And you got to be able to console your wife and maintain your wife spiritually, mentally, physically, economically. The Holy Quran, Surah 4, verse 35, says men are the maintainers of women. If your wife is unhappy, she's being poorly maintained by you. You're just actually using one aspect of your maintenance as though you're accomplishing the economic part, but that's not what's most important. People can have money, brother, but that don't give you a peace of mind.
That's right.
The woman wants more of you. And the minister said the balance in our life, he said, brothers, work hard 4 days out of a week. Then the next day, it's you and your wife, just all day, you and your wife. Then you have a day for you and the family, a family day. And then you're going to have some me time. You know, just need some time that you can get rejuvenated. That's the mizan, the balance that Brother Kadeem was talking about. But then the Holy Quran says in Surah 4, Section 6, disagreement between husband and wife. If you have a disagreement, see, and you can't seem to find a consensus, then you have an arbitrate, one from your people, one from her people, the FOI, MGT, of a successful married couple or your student minister that's not biased, will give you the word. What thus said the Lord about the issues that she's arguing about? You said she's always arguing, but she got to be saying something. What is she arguing about? What is she saying? The way you put it, brother, like she's just nagging. Women just don't nag. They say something when they talk. But what is the issue of complaint? She wants to spend more time with you. That's why she married you. And ain't no man that loves his wife won't find time to be with his wife. Now, I know when they upset and they nag and they complain, it's not a pleasure moment. And women should not quarrel with their husbands. The minister said, there is a science of lawful deliberate dialogue. You can't just run off your mouth to a man that's been working hard all day. You don't know what's on his mind. You got to probe him, see if he's ready for what you want to share. Time dictates the agenda, sisters. You can't just a man come home and you, I'm going to lay it on him. I'm tired of you. You can't just say that. You have to make sure that his mind is ready. And when she talks to you about her concern, brother, you have to look at the facts. And the minister said during lawful deliberate dialogue, there's three things you stay away from that will deter you from the facts. That's pride, emotion, and vitriol. Just deal with the facts. And the Holy Quran says in chapter 4, verse 59, if two people quarrel, two believers quarrel, refer it to God and his messenger. And you have to say, you have to study God's word, brother, and say, baby, this is what the messenger says about this. This is what the word of God says about this. And if she is a believer in God, then it would actually quell her actual argument. She'll calm down and say, okay, yeah, that's right. But you got to be studious. And you have to be balanced in your marriage life. You have to spend time with her. So there's more things that I can share, but I want to share this last Quranic chapter and verse in Quran, verse 128, chapter 4, verse 128 and 129. And if a woman fears ill usage from her husband or desertion, no blame is on them if they effect a reconciliation between them. And reconciliation is better. It sounds like your wife fears or she's experienced ill usage and desertion. And Allah is saying it's better to reconcile. And then it says, and at variance is met within men's minds. Why would you be at variance with reconciliation? Don't punk out. See, when you see difficulty, brother, Allah says he created man to face difficulty, not to punk out, and now you see another sister on your job that's fine and talking sweet to you. Does that mean that you want to just use that as an excuse, she arguing all the time, to run from your wife? Don't do that. Because here in the Holy Quran it's saying an invariance is met within men's minds. And if you do good to others and keep your duty, sure, Allah is ever aware of what you do. And you cannot do justice between wives, even though you wish it. But be not disinclined from one with total disinclination so that you leave her in suspense. So when you leave your wife in total disinclination, you're disinclined from her. What produces that? Her mind is in suspense. Does he love me? Does he want to be with me? Am I pretty enough? What am I doing wrong? And that's a dangerous mindset you leave your wife in. And that opens the door in her mind for a world of trouble. And so Allah said, and if you reconcile and keep your duty, surely Allah is ever forgiving, merciful. May Allah bless you, brother, in your marriage, your relationship. And remember that you're the head of the house. And if anything problems wrong in a household, you know, it's not the body's fault, it's the head's fault. And the minister said that when women complain, I think he said 90% of the time, she's correct. I think it's even more than that. I think he said even 99% of the time. But 90% of the time, let's go with that. She's right. The minister said, if you want to check the problem, don't check the body, check the head. You are the head. And if there's any problem in the house of God or your own home, it's not the body's fault, it's leadership's fault. So you go home to your family, brother, and you correct that problem. And if you got to take time off your job to do that, you take your sick leave because your wife is sick of you. So you can take that sick leave legitimately and correct the problem in your home. May Allah bless you. Find reconciliation.
Alaykum salam. Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines. And Atlanta, Georgia. 6820, the last four numbers. Your mic is live.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. And I bear witness that his messenger is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I thank God for their mercy and grace in the body of Minister Louis Farrakhan, the best God he could have ever left before us. And I just thank God for you all tonight. You all are on fire. Like, I really do love the conversation. And, you know, I'm just taking notes or whatever because, actually, I'm not married at all, and I look forward to that in the future. But I like the points that Brother Stanley is breaking down for us. Like, he talked about balance. He talked about the mindset. He's talking about you studying basically your mate that you are wishing to marry or the person that you are already married to. So it's just very important for us to understand what a blessing we have in these teachings and the beautiful minds we have all across the world, you know, in with these teachings that has been installed inside of us. And I just like how you're breaking this down about spending time, facts, you know, the mindset, because if you really study a man or a woman, you'll find out what their intentions are from the beginning. So you can erase some of these problems. Like you said, if you come in a marriage and you understand your mate, and you study them, basically, if you study them wisely without emotion, without breaking courtship restrictive laws, then you will find out and eliminate most of the problems that we have. And that's what I'm gaining from this or whatever, because the root is putting God first and following his laws. And like you said, like Minister Farrakhan said in the Believers Meeting, he said that, you know, sometimes we forget something. What we really forget is that we're not putting God first. And if we don't put God first and we go after our own emotions and lust, we're going to always fail, because God is sufficient. He wouldn't ask you to do nothing that he don't think that you can do. Even in this wicked world that we living in, if we only would fast. He made a good point. He said that we need to learn how to fast. He said, and we're not fasting, and that's why we're letting our emotions control us, because our stomach really dictates our agenda. We have to understand that, and if we don't understand that, we're going to keep falling victim to our own emotions and our own lust. But I thank God for you all's conversation tonight, and I'm going to continue to listen, and may Allah grant everybody with the light of understanding, and me as well. And I just thank God for you all. Thank God. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, dear sister. Can we get your name?
Sister Renetta.
Sister Renetta, thank you, dear sister. Thank you for listening, and thank you for that, those words of encouragement. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we got another call from Georgia. Last four numbers, 2227. Whoa. 2227, your mic is live.
And
they
got a lot of background noise.
Yeah, they do. Okay, I'm sorry. We can't take that call. I'm sorry. Okay, listen, we have another question from a brother, Brother Stanley. And he says, I'm not going to lie. My wife and I had premarital sex. And I don't understand the damage done because we did marry. But I cannot pinpoint the damage, but I know that it exists because we are very unhappy.
Praise be to Allah.
Well, all right.
Right, well, there's always consequences to breaking God's law. And when you break God's law, you damage the consciousness, the God consciousness in you and in her. If she can't trust you to obey God,
come on.
Then how can she trust you to be obedient to your marriage vows? And that's a trust factor that seems like going on in your relationship. And there might be a problem here with moral authority. See, when a man loses his moral authority, he's done.
You're
no longer attractive to her anymore. You're just like any other man. And she sees you as just another man. And I say that only God can restore your relationship when you restore your relationship with him.
That's right.
And I would say the first start in repairing your relationship with your wife is see where you are failing in your relationship with God.
Right.
Because I said earlier that the woman is the barometer of God. Mm. She tells you if God is pleased with you or displeased with you by her reaction to your ways and my ways. She can't help herself. And when you are tested and tried by your wife and you fail, she becomes disappointed. Sometimes women test you, you don't even know you're being tested, most times. But if you pass the test that she has given you by the order of God, see, God put it in her nature to test the man, not one time, but every time she can. And, brother, you know, you hit it on the head, the premarital sex. You fell victim to it. And the only way you can recover from that is you have to show her that you're faithful to God. And where you're failing, make the necessary correction. And you have to start talking to your wife about your shortcomings with God.
Mm.
And you have to tell her that you understand that you are responsible for the condition of your home. You have not been the best example.
I don't.
You are the leader of your family.
That's right.
And this Ramadan is coming up, I think June 28th is a great time for you to actually, you know, get that spiritual tune-up. You know, that spiritual detox. Detox your mind and your heart from any way that's not pleasing to God. And Allah always tries you, my dear brother, with that which you love. And it sounds like you love your wife, but you are not strong enough to love her deeper. And Allah will give you the strength. If you pray to him, he says in Surah 40, verse 60, he says, I will answer you. And you have to restore your faith. And stop undermining your faith with doubt. And when you undermine your faith with doubt, hypocrisy takes the place of faith. And you just talk, but you never bear fruit. And so you become your own hypocrite. You become your own enemy. You say, I'm going to do this, and then your own mind says you never will do it. And you believe that hypocrisy within yourself more than you believe the word of God. And that's how men remain lip professors and never do it. I'm going to change, I'm going to change, and you never change. So I would say, brother, that it begins with saying your prayers. That's how you begin to come back to God. Then 5 daily prayers. Start with your prayer. And then start with your dietary law, eating 1 meal a day. Start with eating at the same time every day and try to fast once a month, the unity fast. And reading God's word, 15 minutes, right after your 5 a.m. prayer, pick up the Holy Quran and begin to read it. And begin to strive to live according to God's law. Cut off all people in your life that is a negative influence, even on your job, even your old high school friends. Cut them all off. Because your relationship, your marriage, is the most important relationship besides God and yourself. Your marriage is second. No other relationship more important than your relationship with your wife except your relationship with God. And both of those relationships parallel. And what affects one affects the other. And the minister said a man or woman that would give up on God would give up on marriage. You can be in the marriage and already given up because you stop struggling to please God and to please each other. We get too comfortable. You know, that mundane man, he's the same old man. He's not making no improvements. Every day you should make improvement to make your wife be happier and happier with you, and the wife should make improvements that the man will be happy and happy. You get too comfortable,
right,
too complacent with each other. But God, he brings something new in the universe every day, and we have not been acquainted with the old. So if you are God, what have you done new in your relationship?
Go ahead,
or if it's the same stale old mundane interaction. This dude is not boring, he's super boring. This woman is super boring. Wear the same dress every week, every day. You know? Don't even try to look pretty for me no more.
Hmm.
See? She trying to look pretty for you on the first date. You try to look hot, sharp and handsome on the first date. What happened to that spirit?
Go ahead.
And if that spirit died, that's no wonder the relationship is dead. Because you trying to please each other have died. Why? Because you got what you wanted. And what you wanted was not really a righteous woman and a righteous man. You got that worldly. Now, I'm not saying this is what you are, brother. I'm not saying. I'm just shooting in the dark, you know, and this is what comes to my heart. Because when you say premarital sex, a lot, there's a serious mind, a carnal mind that falls behind that. And I'm just talking about carnal interactions with your spouse. This is a certain thing that happens. And this is what kills a relationship, because the flesh is finite, but the mind of God is infinite. There's no end to it.
Right.
So if you live a fleshly relationship, that means it's going to die. That's why the love died. God cannot be in the relationship because God's love never dies. So why is your relationship dying?
Come on.
Because God has died in the relationship. That's what I'm saying. God is fresh every day. God never gets boring.
Oh, my goodness. Come on.
God is super fun. But if you're more like God, brother, then you will make her so excited.
That's
right. If she sees you make a star, boy, look at her eyes. Watch how her eyes get big and get excited. Mm-hmm. Now, you might say, come on, brother, you're going too far. No. Stars were made by men. That was in harmony with the will of God. What have you created lately that made her excited?
Yes, sir.
So anyway, thank you for allowing me to share. Psalms 82, verse 6 says, ye are all gods, children of the Most High God. We should not walk as men, brother. We should walk as gods. And we should do everything excellent. Nothing should be mediocre in our life. And if you do things excellent, well, she would say, I have an excellent husband. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Walaikum salam. Okay, I'm going to take these two questions because I promised that we are already over time. Okay, Lawrence says that I am not very expressive. How do I best tell my wife that I love her? I don't say it often, but I do my best to show her in every way, every day. I'm not big on sweet words. Aww.
Well, brother, here's how you do it. If you're not big on words, then you have to get big on words, because we're social people. You know, we're social beings, the Holy Quran.
Mm-hmm.
So every student has a teacher.
That's right.
And the best teacher is love. How you feel, just say how you feel. Love will tell you. Just say it. The Holy Quran says speak straight words, for example. If your wife looks beautiful and you really see her as being beautiful, don't say her name's Karen. Say, Karen, you look beautiful. Because everyone else calls her Karen. She wants you to see her as unique. She wants you to say, give her a name that no one else has but her when it comes out your mouth. So you can say, sugar plum.
Okay.
My honey pie. Baby, you look so beautiful. You're saying it how you feel. That's all. Connect your feelings with your words. Stop saying can't. Can't is not from the vocabulary of a God.
That's right. Go ahead.
That's a command phrase out of an engram. You know, she'll feel so happy that you complimented her. And you start wooing her, the words of love. Then she says something and you like the sound of her voice. Say, Sugar Plum, your voice sounds like the birds chirping in the morning. Oh, my God. Mm. It just wakes you. And them birds chirping in the morning wake you up. And your words wake up my spirit of love. Oh, honey, you just smell so good. You smell like roses during spring.
My God.
See? And you start talking to her and say, and then you tell her, baby, you've been working real hard lately. Lay down. Let me get some shea butter and give you a foot massage.
Okay. All right now. Okay.
And then you give her a foot massage. And while you're massaging her feet, talk about why you love her. And then what are you doing? You're making love to her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make love to a woman's mind, then she will desire you more.
Mm-hmm.
And when she desires you more, guess what? She'll start, you know, showing you how much she desires you. And there's nothing wrong with telling your wife, baby, I love you. And I want show you how much I love you. There's nothing wrong with that. That's your wife. See? And so don't ever feel uncomfortable speaking to your wife how you feel, as long as your feelings are within the rights of God. The Holy Quran says this, I close with this, Sister Queen, in chapter 23 called The Believers. This is what it says now, brother. Oh, we got one more question, too. Let me cut this short. It says, I'm only 22. Let me just, first section, brother. I will read the first seven verses, and it says, and restrain your sexual passions except in the presence of their mates or whom their right hand possesses, for such are not blamable. So don't restrain your sexual passions in the presence of your wife. You only restrain it if it's not your wife. So express yourself. I think that's a song, right?
Yes, sir.
Express your love to your wife, my dear brother, and then it's all right just to begin to speak from the heart, and then the more you speak from the heart, the more God will guide you to say more and more and more desirable words from your mouth to your wife. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yes, sir. And the last question is from some sister, and she only gave her initials, LRM. She says, oh, Allah. Okay. She says, my husband thinks I need to be totally submissive to him, but he can do all sorts of wrong. How can I correct him and support him at the same time? That sounds like a Sister Ruth question.
I concur 1,000%.
He's funny. Well, the minister, you know, he just talked about how, you know, the mistreatment of a woman, you know, and that's going on, you know, all over our community, you know, how the woman is being mistreated, you know, how she's not being reverent, you know. And he talked about, as women, that we have to make Allah sufficient. You know, we have to have a relationship with Allah that we will stand up and not be weak. Because, you know, if you submit to a brother and, you know, he's doing all kind of manner of evil, what are you submitting to? You know, because when you submit to that type of behavior, then he's going to lead you into wrong. He's going to lead you into hell. So you submit to God. You submit, you know, to a man that's submitting to God. You know, and the minister says, stop being weak women. You know, have a relationship with Allah. That's the first thing. You know, the first commandment was, you know, that Allah is, we should honor, respect, and love and worship only Him. You know, so when you have that relationship with Allah, then you only submit to someone that looks like Him, that looks and talks and walks like God. You know, so I would say to you, sister, is that, you know, you don't submit to wrong, even if it is your husband. You know, you only submit to what's right because you are the woman of God. You're not the woman of man, you're the woman of God. And we're going to be tried, you know. So, and like the minister said, man is not a replacement for God. He is no equal to God. You know, so when you bow or you submit to a man who's not going to take you to God, then, you know, you're really heading for destruction. And that's how, you know, our nation is in the condition that it's in, because we have allowed men to make us his woman. you know. So I would say to you is that, you know, submit to Allah, and if it ain't right, you submit to Allah. And what's right, and I would just say that, you know, you seek counsel, you know, from a student minister and his wife. And, you know, if the marriage is going to continue in that type of relationship, it definitely needs to be, you know, counsel. Because, I mean, I don't know if he's a lost found or if he's a FOI, but if he does not know, then he should be taught on what's right, you know. So that's what I would share with my sister.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And Brother Kadeem, anything you want to say before we close out this evening?
Absolutely, dear sister, and thank you. And I want to address that last question, and then I want to address the question before that about the courtship brother that he had an intimate relationship with his wife before the courtship. But I'm going to be very brief. As already stated, Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth have stated, where it says in the scriptures that God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. Well, if God is truly not the head of man, she can't submit to that. But also, God only means one who has force and power. The devil himself is a god. So we have to be careful as men, as to who is our head. Minister Biot shared with me once that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches that God is a man. And if the woman does not see God in us, we can be charged with her leaving the mosque. So we can't come with these bully tactics. Now, I've seen this for myself in marriages with men as to how they have treated their wives. And these types of men and this type of behavior, I personally abhor it. Because that, in truth, becomes an abusive marriage. It's verbally abusive and possibly physically abusive. You grab her, you snatch her, because now you're trying to demand that you do something. And that mind has to be driven out, because that woman is hurting. She's crying. That sister is hurt. And she more likely may even believe that that's just how it is, because there's so many misconceptions about Islam in the media, and people are confused. That I don't care what they're showing you on the media. That's not the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Trust me, they're not promoting the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on CNN, Fox, or whatever news network you're watching. So that mindset has to be driven out of the mosque, has to be driven out the mind of a man, because that is an abusive relationship. And it's not in the nature of a woman to submit of man. And so that's probably more than likely a very unhappy marriage. As a point to the brother that said he's not going to lie, me and my wife had an intimate relationship before we got married. Sex has a blinding effect on the courtship process, because whatever that is currently making you both unhappy within yourself as brother or within the sister, it already existed within the two of you during the courtship process, but you were blinded by the sex that you had, and you probably had it more than once. And so you became attracted to what he does to you or what she does for you. And it talks about in the Holy Quran about allowing the idolater to marry the believing woman marrying idolater, or a believing man marrying an idolatress, because at that time, that's what you are. Even though she pleases you, even though he pleases you, you are in an idolatry state, an idolatrous state of mind. And so we become blinded to what it is in the courtship process that we need to point out or see. Hold up, brother, I don't like that. Hold up, sister, I really don't like that. I don't think this is going to work for us. Or we need to work on these things and let's see how it be going. That's why it's called ship. And it's designed, see, the courtship process, you have a chaperone to help prevent. But we know we grown. I don't need no chaperone, so we sneak out on our own. We sneak away. But look at the end result. The brother said, we are unhappy because you don't have a firm foundation built on your marriage. It wasn't founded on God's laws, statutes, and commandments, so now you have a rocky, weak marriage. But Brother Stanley so beautifully laid out in his talk how you can repair that. And it can be repaired. But just like you broke the law, you have to be willing now to go through the fire to fix it. And you can't plunk out in the process of wanting to fix it if the two of you actually want to. Don't quit. Take it from me. I can tell you from experience, go through the fire because the fire, it purifies. And I think it's in one of the study guides or in the introduction to the study guide where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is talking about how Allah puts you in the fire and he beats you, but then he'll cool you off. So you have to go through that process all over again, because if there's flicker of a flame of love left between the two of you, it can be reignited, but God has to be the one to reignite it, and we just have to be able to endure the pain, because pain only makes us grow. And if we can endure that pain, you can grow and fight for your marriage. You got to want to fight. Because, check this out, you can quit, but whatever exists in you or in her, whoever wants to quit the marriage, you will carry it over to the next marriage because you still haven't dealt with something that's deep internally inside yourself. So we do wrong. But there's a lesson in that. Study the lesson. Correct the wrong, go through an atonement process, first with God, then with each other, and then by Allah's grace and permission, the marriage can be healed. And I know we're over the time, and I'm not going to say a whole lot, but tonight for me, Sister Queen, Brother Stanley, Sister Ruth, I just really felt a need to be quiet because this particular subject just was personal for me, and I really wanted to hear a lot. So may Allah bless you guys, man. I mean, thank you so much. I feel like the sister who called in, I needed to hear everything that was said. As-salamu alaykum.
Before we close, family, I know we're running out of time, and I thank all of you who stayed with us, over time. I do this for a reason, and the first reason is because I love you all, and I truly believe in the teachings given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but I am fortunate or unfortunate, however you want to look at it, to work in a capacity to where I bear witness to the decline of the morality of our people. And I just so believe with every fiber of my being that these teachings are life-giving and life-saving. And the one thing that we can never replace, and the one thing that Allah has never duplicated, is one another. We're all unique parts of Allah God. And so how we treat one another, how we love one another, is very, very, very important. It's a part of Allah's divine plan for his creation. And every time we mistreat one another, we defy Allah. We slap Allah in the face, not seeing the value of one another, whether we're killing each other in the streets, whether we've beaten our wives, whether we've beaten our husbands, whether there's infidelity in the marriage, and even when we get married for the wrong reason. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, something. Stop playing with one another. Stop marrying a sister for convenience. Stop marrying a brother for convenience, whether it's financial convenience or sexual convenience or whatever convenience that you think you want to marry somebody for and you think that you can tolerate it because it's beneficial to you. Stop playing with each other because Allah sees and knows everything. And when you do that, you really show that you are not a believer. I'm not wanting to call anybody a hypocrite. I'm not in no moral position to judge anybody. But we cannot carry on acting other than the teachings that we say we believe in. Yes, we all fall short. Yes, we all going to make mistakes. But damn it, we know prayer and we know atonement. And if we don't, we need to know, we need to practice it in order to bring us as true believers into fruition. You can call yourself a Muslim, call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. But as a Muslim, you do not mistreat one another. You do not misuse one another. You do not disrespect one another, and you do not hurt intentionally one another. That's not what we do as Muslims. So whether it's in your marriage, whether it's a brother or sister, whether it's in your immediate family, you have to be the beacon of light that Allah designed for you to be in all aspects of life. So I pray that this message has helped somebody, everybody. But if we help one somebody, all praises due to Allah. We will return next week, and the topic will be wives. How much do you love your husbands? Because we as women have a remarkable responsibility, and we have a duty that we sometimes greatly neglect when it comes to our husbands. And Sister Ruth, I pray to Allah that you will join me next week. It's going to be a sister's gathering. And brothers, of course, Brother Stanley, Brother Kadeem, we certainly want you with us too. But me and Sister Ruth, we're going to head this thing off. We're going to talk to our sisters real talk, down and gritty.
We going to listen.
We want you all to listen, but we have, you know, I tell people this all the time. I don't care what nobody tells the black man, but it is on your shoulders that we stand. I don't care how much history is written and unwritten and recorded and unrecorded, but this country was built on the backs of black men. And if not for black men, I don't care how dim the days may look, we as black women stand on the shoulders of our black men. And if you don't understand it, next week tune in and you will. So may Allah bless us all with the light of understanding. May everyone be healthy and be safe. Student Minister Stanley Muhammad, thank you once again. Sister Queen Ruth, thank you, my dear sister. Love y'all much.
Thank you, Sister Queen Aziza.
Thank you, and my beloved brother and co-host, Brother Kadeem, thank you, and thank you all for listening. May we leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
To the queen.